Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always an honor and a privilege to come together with the body of Christ on Wednesday night as we explore the word of God together. God is doing what he does, and he has each and every one of us in mind in our daily operations, in our hardships, our trials, our tribulations, because he's never left us. He's right there in the middle of it. God is an awesome God, and you have to believe it to understand it and achieve it, achieve the grace that he has bestowed upon us, appreciate the love he has extended towards us. God is always doing his part, and we have to begin to do ours. Well, our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Romans. We're going to be in the book of Romans in the 12th chapter in verses 1 through 2. This is a familiar verse for some. And when we get through studying them on tonight, I pray that everyone have a clear understanding of what God is saying to his people. So with that being said, as always, I play a song. And I chose this song. It's by Murphy Williams, and it's called Working, but it talks about seasons. And when we play the song, we're going to come back, and we're going to enter God's blessing through the throne of grace in prayer. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to go into the lesson. So listen to the song, be prayerful for our Bible study. Open up your minds and let God have his way on tonight.
No.
discussed the agenda. We voted.
And that was Seasons. That's a beautiful song. He talked about the seeds that you have planted, looking for a harvest. Our lesson last week and the one before that was talking about watch what you sow because that's what you're going to reap. It's a process. The God in the Bible say, if it's not so, God is a liar. God is not mocked. Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So when you're looking for the blessings from God, you have to see what seeds you have planted. You have to see if you're lining yourself up with the word of God as best as you can. Because even in a record, he said, I'm not perfect, but I'm faithful. Everybody have enough of God's knowledge in them to do better. Everyone, because that's the way God designed it. So at this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer. And if anyone would like to pray for our first Bible study in the year 2009, God is affording the opportunity. You may press the one button, and I'll open your mic, and you can lead us to the throne of grace. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the lover of our souls, our eternal Father, our Lord, our Master, the King of Kings, the great I am, the beginning of all beginnings and the end of all ends, our Heavenly Father, our Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, and our Spirit, His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise on tonight, dear God. We have to first say thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be able to come together one more time. as we enter the new year, dear God, with expectations for what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that we all receive more blessings than we had before. Lord, I pray that we become more faithful to your word, that we become more obedient, and that we realize and trust you even more for the things of God. Heavenly Father, let us know and let us realize that you are always working it out for our good, because you say that in your word. Lord, you told us to bring our prayer to you in your word, Lord, and you say we're going to be the head and not the tail, and we're going to be the lenders and not the borrowers, and you told me you're going to take them enemies and place them under my footstool, and you told us that you will never leave us and you'll never forsake us, and you told us that if we trust you, you'll never fail us, and you told us that we have the victory through Christ Jesus, your son, blood, death, and resurrection. You told us, dear God, in your word, that you are our shepherd. You are our king, our Lord, and our master. Let us hold on to the things and the word of God, dear God, because that's where our strength lies. Let us grow in grace and your knowledge, dear God. Let us bathe in the favor that you are bestowing upon us. But let us be able to recognize it, dear God. Let us in 2019 realize all the many blessings you have given us. Let us not concentrate on what we don't have, but thank and glorify your holy name for what you have already done, what you're doing right now in this season, and what you promise to do for your children. Lord, I thank you, and I can't make it without you. Have mercy upon each and every one of us, and bless Wednesday night Bible study, to God. And Lord, it's the territory, if it's your will. Because you say if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. Lord, I thank you. I love you. I can't make it without you. I appreciate the opportunity you're giving me on tonight and the different nights that I have done it in the past, and if it's your will, it's going to keep going on in the future, dear God. I thank you. I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your wonderful name. And at this time, I'd say it earlier, we was in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and the second verse. But I want you to know that the title for this study tonight is Enter the New Year Doing What Is Right, because it's the right thing to do. No more, no less, because it's the right thing to do. On last week, we had a lot of difficulties, but, you know, even through the midst of that, I got some calls, and the people were saying how they was blessed for the part that they heard. You see, God's word don't return void. And tonight, we're going to go ahead with this lesson. And some of my background, introduction is, you know, we have entered a new year. 2019. Glory be to God. Because I can remember when the year 2000 was coming and they called it Y2K, and everybody in the world, as well as many churches, was all in shambles. You know, we had a lesson at the church that I was going to at the time to tell you how to get prepared, take your money out the bank and store up so much water and so many, you know, it was all of that. Now, we enter in 2019, so that was 19, 18 years ago, and God is still on his throne. the world that he created is still evolving and operating, and he's still in the blessing business. Hallelujah. You see, 2018 is gone, and everything with it is now in the past. You can't change it. All that you didn't do, and you feel it must be done, all I could tell you is do it. If there are things that should be brought into the new year, try your best to bring it in. And if there are things that shouldn't be brought in a new year, leave it out. People usually think about errors in their lives that would be better only if, that's the thing that gets us, only if something would stop and other things will be started. Then they try to become dedicated to whatever way they're flowing to achieve it. Perhaps it's to lead or support a cause, or perhaps it's a new role or responsibility. Perhaps it's to make a more better commitment of your time, your energy, your financial resources to make our lives and the lives of others better. Or it may be a time and a season to mend some of these broken relationships. Others would like to grow stronger in their faith by getting closer to God. You know, we just continue to push towards what we think is best, and we take and say, in the new year, I'm going to do this, in the new year, I'm going to do that. But we try to push even when obstacles arise and door closes. We kind of and try to keep pressing towards the goal we have established in our mind for the new year. You know, but yet many times we fail. We stop trying and we get disenchanted with the idea or lose focus. I want you to know that each and every one of us have areas in our lives that we can grow. And I'm going to say it again. Every one of us have areas in our lives we need to grow. You know, it don't matter what you have. It don't even matter what you know. You see, living a Christian life is a process. It's not a journey. No, let me say that again. The Christian life is a process. It's a journey, not a destination. It's not where you get to a point and stop growing in the knowledge of God and think that you have arrived, because the Bible say that you would only be fooling yourself. You're thinking more of yourself than you ought to. Hallelujah. We grow daily in the things of God. So, you know, Brother Alex, I know he's on the line, and I want to tell him, because he made a statement that, you know, he don't think he's where he need to be. But none of us are. But you have to keep pressing. You see, that's our job. And God has given every one of us enough to do the right thing, because it's the right thing to do. I want you to know that change is inevitable, but growth is an option. With that in mind, we are now looking towards the new year with great expectation, looking for God in this new season of our lives. I want you to know that God operates time through seasons. There's always talking, you know, like if you plant, I'll give an example. I have a magnolia tree in my backyard, and every early summer, them magnolias going to come on that tree because it's their season. You know, there's season for mustard greens, and there's seasons for every different facets of things and different facets in our lives. You know, so when we look at the new year and we say, oh, I want to be better, I want to stop this, I want to start this, I want to exercise, I want to lose, you know, all that's fine and good, but we got to put first things first. A new year, you got to know this, a new year is just an extension to the old year. Time has never stopped and started over. It just keep on moving. It has been said that you can't do time because time does itself. I want you to know tonight, it can't be stopped until God says so. And then it don't stop because they talks in the Bible when this life is over, we enter eternal life, which will never stop. You can't stop it. And I want you to know that time don't wait for no one. So things in your life that you need to do that you're putting off, time is going to keep doing time. And you're going to look up and it's 5 years, it's 10 years, it's 20 years. Just do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. We must not look at a new year to start over to do what's right. We have to do as Jesus said. We have to be about our Father's business, not only at the beginning of a new year, but every day of our lives. You see, the Word of God is what produces change in our lives and is constantly working all things out for your good. You see, you can't produce, you know, God gave the Holy Ghost to come live in us, and the Holy Ghost is constantly making change from the inside out, and you know, we have to be careful how we start. You know, God is the answer no matter what the question is. So I encourage each one of us to start the new year seeing what the Word of God is telling us and asking us what should we be doing. You see, no matter what the questions are, the Word of God has the answer. No matter what is needed in your life, the Word of God has instructions on what you need to do to achieve it. The Word of God, along with the gift of the Holy Spirit, is what aids us to create change in our lives, which is our reasonable service. See, God wouldn't say that, you know, you have to do this and do that without providing the provisions for you to do it. You see, God has worked all that out. It's, you know, you have to get with God's program. You see, God started a work in you once you accepted his Son and has never taken a time out on you. Even when you felt God wasn't near, it wasn't that he left you, it was you left him. He never took a vacation, and he never asked for a leave of absence. That's why you can be sure that he'll never leave nor forsake you. So, let us start the new year in every day of our lives, seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look what the scriptures say. And all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek God first, the scriptures say all things. And I'm not just talking about materialistic things. I'm saying all things. Your peace. Your joy, because if you seek first the kingdom of God, which is in the Word of God, you going to have these things. All things going to be added for you. And the scripture goes on to say, take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall have thoughts for the things of itself. That's why God said, live each day loving God and loving others. And that's our introduction to the lesson tonight. Remember, the title is Into the New Year Doing What is Right, because it's the right thing to do. See, I gave this introduction of saying how we need to enter the new year. But just like, you know, if you spend time with God, he's going to tell you what you need to do, and then he's going to give you instructions on how to do it. So I picked Romans 12, 1 and 2 to see how he said we can achieve this. Now, we done got it out the way that we got to use the word of God as our moral compass to go in the new year and every day of our lives. So if you look at Romans 12 and 1, the scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And look what it say, which is your reasonable service. And why is it your reasonable service? Because all that Jesus has done for us, he made a way for us out of no way. He took us out of the pits of hell because we was all destined to die. He delivered us, hallelujah, and he has given us the victory. So if we present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, the scriptures say, look at this, which is your reasonable service. You see, when we see the word sacrifice, we immediately think about the days of old. Here Paul is saying we must sacrifice ourselves to God, not as a sacrifice on the altar. You see, the Mosaic law required the sacrifice of animals. But what we're talking about tonight is you as a living sacrifice. The Bible defines sacrifice as anything consecrated and offered to God. So what this saying, we should consecrate ourselves and offer it to God, just as God accepted the sacrifices in the Old Testament. The sacrifice pleased God. Come on, y'all. And this is how we please God. You see, as believers, this is what we should do. You see, under the Old Covenant, God accepted the sacrifices of animals, and he honored it. But these was just a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Because of his ultimate once-for-all sacrifice on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices became obsolete and are no longer in effect. And you know, the Jews who was doing the sacrifices, if they was doing the sacrifice for to get closer to God and Jesus came and they didn't accept Christ as their Savior, I often wonder why would they stop it? Because what would be their door? What would open the door for them to be close to God? You know, we as Christians know sacrifices is no longer necessary because Jesus became our ultimate sacrifice. But why did they stop? Research it. Look it up. I don't know if it ever came across your mind, but it did mine, so that's why I said it. For those who are in Christ by virtue of saving grace, the only acceptable worship is to offer ourselves completely to the Lord. You see, under God's control, the believer yet unredeemed body can and must be yielded to him as an instrument of righteousness. And it's so cool because we could never be totally righteous and we could never be holy. But once we accepted God's Son and the curtain in the temple was torn, God immediately extended his righteousness and his holiness towards us. And with that being poured on us, in us, and through us, we should become an instrument of righteousness unto God. You see, in view of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for us, this is only reasonable. You know, there was a scripture in the book of Matthew in the 22nd chapter, you know, when Jesus was teaching, and I think it was the Pharisees or the disciples asked Jesus, what was the greatest commandment? What was the greatest commandment in the law. Now, they weren't just talking about the Ten Commandments, but they were talking about the law, and there was over 600 laws, and they asked him what was the greatest. And Jesus spoke of two. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, Jesus summarized it up with your responsibility to God. Now, you know, if we can't just do these two things, we couldn't do no 600, I think it was 613 laws. We'd be messed up. Jesus summarized it with two. He said, you have a responsibility to God, and you have a responsibility to man. So as we enter the new year, doing these things, which is our reasonable service, we will give glory to God. You see, and this is the thing. We all can be of service, because when God created us and we accepted Christ, we became a member of the body of Christ. It's one body in Christ. And what he did, he gave each of us different gifts and talents and abilities. God has given all of us so much, and we have to realize that we are only stewards. And a steward is someone that has been given something to take care of while they were gone, until they come back. Everything that has been given to us is a gift from God to be used in the kingdom. You know, they say our life is a gift from God, but what we do with it is a gift to God. You see, the Word of God has given us many examples on how to please God by serving others. You know, the first part I told you, we have to recognize, in the introduction, we have to recognize, put God first, and that's how we're going to achieve whatever we're looking for in the new year, and the Word of God, and grow. And this part I'm telling you how, when he say, present your body as a living sacrifice, first thing we realize that we have to present ourselves, and we have to do it with the things of God, and now I'm telling you. So what I did, I went to the book of Matthews, and I went to the 25th chapter, and there are three parables in that one chapter, where Jesus Christ is teaching on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus Christ is teaching the disciples because he know his time on earth is getting short. So he's reiterating all that he has said in the past, and he's using a parable so they could really understand it. You see, in that chapter, there's three parables to explain what we must be doing until he returns. First, he speaks of 10 virgins. 5 of them was wise and 5 was foolish. You see, the 5 virgins were unprepared. And when the bridegroom, which is Jesus, came back for his bride, which is the church, and we are the church, they weren't ready. When they went out to get what they needed, they came back, but it was too late because the bridal session had left. You know, they just should have been prepared. You see, this lets us know that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You see, when they came back and they saw that they were gone, they went to where the wedding was being held and they knocked on the door, but they couldn't get in. That seemed like plenty of the people who's not accepting Christ. They don't realize their time is running out, and you have to do it while you have time because the door was shut. Then he goes on to explain what he has given everyone. He talks about talents. It was talents he gave them. Talents represented money, but we're going to put it in a sense of time, resources, gifts, and talents that God has given us to use in the kingdom until he returns. You see, he lets us know with this that each one has been given according to their ability. Now, look at that. You know, people always say, yeah, whatever God got for you is for you. Whatever God got for me is for me. I'm not going to get what you got. And you might not get what I got, but you got what God gave you, and it's enough. Because God is a God of enoughness. And he has one body. Everybody have something to perform. So don't never sit back and say, oh, I can't pray like her. Each week, God afford the privilege for people to pray. The more you do it, the better you get. God say, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. God presents the opportunity for you to shed a word and for you to serve one another and for you to pray and for you to give words of encouragement. But you might be just letting the opportunities go by. But what you have to give is what God has given you, and it is enough. You see, he let us know that each of us is given these things according to our ability. God never expects anything from you that he haven't provided the provisions to accomplish it. God don't put opportunities in your way for you to try to do something you can't do. And that's where the trust come in. That's where you walk out on faith. Where's your faith that you can't do this and you can't do that and you're not good enough? It never was predicated on you. It's not your job. It's for God to operate and get all that together and for you just to go out and do it. You see, everything belongs to God. We are only stewards. Everything that God has given us is not just for us. If you have a word of encouragement, speak it to somebody. See, I'm talking about now the things that God wants us to do till he come back. What's our responsibility? What is our reasonable service? You see, two of the servants that he gave the talents, he gave 1 5, 1 3, and he gave 1 1. And he said, invest this and let it grow. So you see, he gave everybody in the Word of God a measure of faith. And you have to increase your faith by doing, by trusting and believing. He gave them talents just well as he has given us what he has given us. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. But I'm coming back. And I want to know, what have you done with what I have given you? You see, two of the servants did well. The one who had five got five more. The one who had three got three more. And God told them, thy good and faithful servants, well done. But the other servant that had one, he was just plain lazy, selfish, unconcerned about God and others. You see, he just sat on what he had been given. How many of us just sitting on what God has given us? Are you planting seeds? You know, every time you be of service to someone, you're planting a seed and you want to talk about the harvest. Every time you pray for somebody, you're planting a seed to receive a harvest. You see, this one, he was so scared, and he was scared, and he was lazy, and he just didn't do anything, and he was really mad with the master. So he just buried it. I mean, the master came back. He said, I'm going to give him back what he gave me. No growth, no growing in grace, no more knowledge, no more nothing. You see, he didn't lose it. But he didn't use it. And the master took what he had given him and gave it to the one that had five. Well, we always say, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's what's happening in our lives, in our spiritual lives, in our growth. You know, the Bible said, and Paul said, you know, talking about the Word of God, he said, I planted the Word of God. What he was talking about, he had established the church and brought them to to salvation. He planted the word, and he had to leave. But Apollo came behind him and watered it. But God gives the increase. You know, there's a scripture in Matthew say, for whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him it should be taken away that which he has. Here we see, if you don't use it, you can lose it. This is how you miss your blessings. You see, when you're looking for your harvest to come in, your harvest is your blessings. But you got to plant the seed. So you just could ask, we could all ask ourselves, what seeds are we planting? Because Jesus is going to come back. And I think all of us would like to hear our master say, servant, well done. And if that's so, you got to be about your father's business. You see, there was one other parable where Jesus was teaching what to do until he returned. And he told them, he said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. The people who he was talking to say, Lord, when did we do all of these things for you? And he said, truly, I tell you, whatsoever you did or did not do for one of the least of mine, for your brothers and sisters and mankind, you did or did not do unto me. So as we enter the new year, use the word of God as our moral compass and let it become our way of life. Tonight I ask you to consider your ways and remember, if nothing changes, everything stays the same. See, in that verse, that's how we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. So if you didn't understand that scripture before, this is what he's talking about, to be a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Present yourself to God. Do the things that God wants us to do. And I gave you Matthew 25, and I encourage you to go back and look at it and read it and ponder over it for yourself, because Jesus is saying what he wants you to do in that chapter until he comes back. And if we look at the last verse, and it say, that verse say how you present your body. And this verse tell you what you got to do in order to be able to present your body. And the scripture says, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, after reading this, and God told us what he wanted to do, and in parables, use our time, resources, and talents, and be prepared, and help others. But I came to tell you, this scripture lets you know that the only way that you can do it, if you transform your mind. One thing you must realize is that you must be transformed. And the only way to do it is by the renewing of your mind. You see, the mind is the place where Satan places his lies and perform all his tricks in your mind. If he could do more than that, he would have done it. Come on, y'all. He can't kill you. Yes, he do have some power, but it's limited. God has him on a leash, because you can look at Job. Every time he wanted to do something to Job, he had to go and ask God. But Satan plays tricks in your mind to get you to accept his perception. And once you do it, it becomes your reality. And then we messed up. You got to remember, that your mind is either talking you into something or talking you out of something. The book of James says, resist the devil and he has to flee. You see, God chooses his people to be a light in a dark world. Matthew 5 and 16 say, let your light so shine before men that they could see your good works. And this is, and glorify the Father. This scripture is letting us know this is how God gets glory. Can anyone see Jesus in you? Is your light shining? And you don't have to be a rocket scientist for that. You don't have to know all 66 books in the Bible. You don't have to be a genius of precepts upon precepts. You have to love God and love and serve others. And that makes your light shine. And all of us have that ability. All of us don't do it. Because God doesn't expect anything from you that you can't do. He don't set you up to fail. Remember that. You see, the people of God should be transforming their mind to the will of God, but they are conforming to the world more and more each day. God chose the Israelites to be his nation. He was going to let them see. He was going to let all of the other nations in the world see how he worked with his people and love on his people and how his people are obedient and trust him and love on him. But it didn't happen that way. And even today, it's still not happening fully that way. You know, we got to just do what is right because it's the right thing to do. I come to tell you, it's not as hard as you may think. I'm going to give you the simplest scripture I can. And it's for everybody. Not the ones been studying for a year, not the ones been saved 100 years. But there's a scripture in Matthew 7 and 12. And the scripture says, do to others whatever you would like them to do you. That's pretty neat. Know about the whole Bible, but you know how you want to be treated. And that's scripture is the essence of all that is taught in the Bible about the law and the prophets. So with all of that being said, I'm going to close tonight, and I just want you to know, into the new year, doing what is right, because it's just the right thing to do. That's our lesson for tonight. This is our first program, so I cut the program. I didn't cut anything out of it, but I left time for us to have time to discuss or talk or say where you would like, you know, the lessons to go in 2019. You might have a specific subject you want to be taught on. You might want pray. You might want to give encouragement. You might want to do anything. God is affording the opportunity to the listeners at this time that they could come any way that they would like. I went to church on New Year's Eve, and at the church they had people telling, giving praise reports and telling a testimony and different things like that. But if you have anything you would like to say, you could press the one button and you could say it at this time. If anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to receive prayer, you could press the button. Well, it appears that everybody's all right. No one have anything specific to say. And don't don't think that I'm trying to put you guys on Jump Street. God is just affording the opportunity. Because, you see, if God never afford the opportunity to give you a chance to do some of the things he would want you to do or say, then he wouldn't be a just God. God deliver opportunities. Well, that seemed to be the program for tonight. And again, I'll ask if anyone would like to pray. If not, I'm going to go ahead and close with a benediction. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet on next week. Same time, same station. And as I prepare to leave tonight, I ask that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation for the words that went forth on tonight, that each and every one of you listening, even on the internet or on the phone line, that God opens up your understanding. Hallelujah. Open up your ears that you could truly hear what thus saith the Lord, and open up your heart so you can receive what thus saith the Lord. I would like to take time and thank everyone that listened to our program in other countries. I do get a report to know the countries that is listening to the program, and to each and every one of you, I say thank you. I thank each and every caller that calls in religiously every Wednesday night. I thank God for the opportunity. So as we leave tonight, I just want everyone to do as Peter said in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse. I pray that each and every one of us grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's where our strength lies at the new year and every other year that God's allow us to live on earth. And we have to do as Jesus said, be about our Father's business. And in the year 2019, if you take care of God's business, he is faithful to take care of yours. And that's our program for tonight. And I pray God's blessing on each and every one of you. And we'll meet back next week if the Lord say the same. I want y'all to have a happy new year, but I want you guys to experience happiness all through the year, because that's the way God designed it. But use the word of God as your moral compass. And I guarantee you success, and everything is going to be all right, even in the midst of trials, tribulations, adversities. God is still working it out together for your good. So I just want to say, God be with you until we meet again. That's our program for tonight. And see you all next week. Be blessed.